Welcome to my new podcast. I am Jeff Buttigieg, the CEO of RE/MAX Malta. It is my mission to enable others to see their true value so that they can become a better version of themselves. The Strive to Thrive podcast resonates with my mission in that I feel that I can give a lot back to the community. Aspiring business people and real estate agents gain knowledge from my 20 plus years experience in business and in life. I will be interviewing successful people from all walks of life with an emphasis on providing you knowledge and inspiration. So join me on this journey where we will learn from the best and become better versions of ourselves. I look forward to seeing you on the other side. I'm really excited here today. I have Kevin Buttigieg, my brother, mentor, chairman of RE/MAX Malta. Kev, you've been in business for what,
27 years.
27 years. You started your first business in Malta doing real estate and letting with a small firm with three people. You set up your own company in 1999. And then, of course, you opened RE/MAX 2004. You drove the business to great success, but your passion has always been sales. And today in Strive to Thrive podcast, we want to inspire people to understand more about how they can get into the business and how they can be successful. So can you share a bit about how you got where you are today?
Basically, I've always been a hard worker. I started working, my first work days were when I was 12 years old, shoveling snow in Detroit and cutting lawns of our neighbors and delivering papers and pretty much any job I could get to make a buck. Always wanted to have my own money. And obviously when I came to Malta and I decided on the third attempt of coming to live here, I decided to stay. I needed to do something. And I ran into real estate. One of my best friends had a real estate company who I played rugby with. And one day I did some work with him. And it all started from there. So I quickly became a partner with them. We called it RE/A Letting Limited. That was in 1994. Quickly became one of the top letting agents. How did I become one of the top letting agents? Basically, I had a lot of energy. Don't forget, back in those days, there were no mobile phones. There were no websites. It was all about socializing, which I've become an expert at over the years, even though I can't handle it too much anymore in my old age. But going around looking for clients, hunting down clients, and working. I mean, the key to success in the real estate industry is to become the guru of what you're doing. In that case, whenever a client would phone me, don't forget, I didn't even have a real estate program back in those days. I used to go buy papers and books and have all the properties memorized in my head, who I can phone and who I can't phone and whatever. So it was a total different ballgame. Letting was obviously not as big as it is today. But we quickly competed with the top people who had been in the business for many years, made good relationships with our clients, took care of our clients, always followed up with our clients, kept in touch with our clients, and kept pushing forward. I mean, I believe it's all about being available for your clients, always in a position to help them whenever you need. For me, back in those days, there were no hours. So my work day was whenever time I woke up until whenever I went to bed, because basically I was working 24/7 and enjoying it, because that's the important thing, I think, is you find a job that you really like. And this is what I know. And it's the only thing I know. So for me, I believe real estate was meant for me.
Going back to what you said, there was non-digital time. It was papers. It was top of your mind. I mean, mobile phones probably didn't have any digital, you know, no directories. Have the principles changed of the business aspect of following up, you know, being in contact?
No, the basics are still there. Okay, so digitalization just made life a bit easier. Mobile phones made, you know, imagine when I used to go in to show six apartments. If an owner out of those six apartments and I didn't have the keys was running late by 15, 20, 30 minutes, they couldn't phone me, you know? So you either waited and you probably gave them 15, 20 minutes sitting out there trying to have a conversation with your client to keep him occupied. And then if they don't show up, you just move on, you know? Or even in your case, sometimes I would schedule six appointments and I would rent the second apartment I show. So the other four, I used to have to figure out how I'm going to phone the owners to tell them not to bother coming because the client rented. 50% of those owners would have left their house already and they don't have a mobile phone. So it wasn't as easy as it is today. Today, everything's just a touch on your phone and you're good. But I mean, I guess that's what made it so interesting. You know, I mean, we used to fight hard. Time was of essence at the time. Even time is of essence here. But no, the basics haven't changed. The basics of making good relationships with the owners. That's one thing that I really excelled in, is I felt that the owners, they loved me renting their properties. They loved me always on the ball, always chasing, always making sure everything's good, finding them good tenants, and having great relationships with them. And that's what really helped my business, is the relationship I had with all my clients.
You pointed out three things that you did consistently and kept you in the game, and they were main pillars of the way you ran your business. What would they be?
Well, the main thing that I always did is I always gave my 110% effort with every single client that I had to try and find them exactly what they were looking for. Some clients were difficult back in those days. There were certain nationalities back in those days where Maltese landlords didn't accept. And I used to do my utmost, even though they were very difficult clients and the other agents wouldn't do business with them, I would still do my best to try and help them, because at the end of the day, they're human beings and you can't judge a nation or a couple nations because there's a few bad ones that everybody is bad. Always had in the back of my head knowing what's the best properties on the market. Like I said, good relationships with the landlords. And I guess one of the best things that I was always, wherever there was a party, wherever there was an event, wherever there was something going on, you found Kevin there mingling. I wasn't shy to pass around my card. I wasn't shy to speak. You know, I would hear through the grapevine, like I said, there was no digital, there's no websites. I would hear that someone from the American Embassy is looking for an apartment. I would phone up the American Embassy. Obviously, over there, they're not going to tell you who's looking for an apartment. But then I'd simply, back in those days, send a fax to the American Embassy with a really nice property. And 9 out of 10 times, they would phone you. And then you'd get the client. So always chasing. I mean, nonstop chasing. And being consistent. And that was the key, being consistent.
And to fast forward to today, you were global agent of the year in 2018, I believe.
Correct.
What did you do? I mean, obviously back then it was less digital. Today, if you were to say there was anything that you did that made you, that drove you to become number one in the world of RE/MAX, what was it?
Well, I found my niche. And my niche is commercial property and ROIs, yields, and upmarket property. And I concentrate on those. So obviously I get a lot of leads as number one, being the chairman of RE/MAX, and number two, being who I am and knowing people and being involved in lots of different events and stuff. And I pass those leads on because I don't give justice to the client by trying to take them around on an area which I don't understand.
So you believe niche?
I believe
finding a niche and specializing is a very important.
And specializing or becoming a guru in a certain area, there are many ways to skin this cat. But I believe that, like, for instance, one of the important things in real estate is if you get a lead from a friend of yours and it's not in your area, you can always pass on the referral to an agent who really works in that area. And you know what? Getting 50%, 30% of something is always better than getting 100% of nothing. Because more than likely, if you don't know the market and you're going to try just because the client has a reasonable budget, and you're going to go knocking on doors and see, you're going to waste a lot of your own time instead of concentrating on what you do best. And let the people who are in that area do what they do best. And obviously you get a piece of cake and vice versa. They might pass you on a lead, which is in your area. But no, I definitely believe that it's niche markets. You need to be guru, choose a couple areas, choose a type of property you want to work on. And you know what? Love that and take it as it's your own. So when you wake up in the morning and you look in the mirror, and you look at yourself and you smile and you're happy to go to work that day. And that's where you want to be. The day you're not happy to go to work is the day you start looking to find something else to do.
I've heard you speak many times and I'm going to ask you a question and you know what I'm talking about. Have you ever walked away from a deal when you knew you could have had it, but you said, you told the client, don't go for it?
Yes. Actually, one of my biggest clients today. There was a specific problem with the contract. It didn't look like a big deal, but for me, it was a big deal. The client was being convinced by the notary and the lawyer in the room at that time. I asked if I can speak to the client and I went outside with him and I basically told him, listen, if you're going to go ahead and buy it, don't come to me with any of the problems afterwards. My advice, walk away. It can be fixed, but you don't sign anything now. And to be honest with you, a month and a half later, that same client bought that property, but for 550,000 euros less. Okay, because of the problem. But I can tell you there were many times where there's something wrong with the information wasn't correct. The owner didn't give us the right information. And I just would honestly tell the client what I would do. And then I leave the commercial decision up to him. Because at the end of the day, it's their commercial decision. Now, I can guide them. I can inform them what I think. And that's it. You know, it's not the first time that a client or a friend of mine phones me and they would have saw a property with another agency. And he tells me, look, I've got this property. It's this, this, this. And it's not the first time I tell him, listen, let me come and see it. So I can give you my advice better because if I didn't see the property. But sometimes I would know what the property is. I would know and I would just tell them straight up, buy it. There are times where I tell them, listen, I'd be careful there.
So you're saying honesty is a key to, you know, keeping clients, but also of doing business. It's a pure value of yours.
Yeah. Well, if you stick by the book and you are an agent with integrity, And you carry on, your lifespan in the business can be forever. If you're going to be one of these agents who's so desperate to close a deal, will say anything to close a deal, your lifespan will not last very long in this business. Whether you're in letting or whether you're in sales, it doesn't.
So, talking to my audience, if there were three things that you could tell my audience on how to be a success in real estate, what would they be? 1, 2, 3.
Success in real estate is, number one, get yourself prepared that you need to work beyond a normal job of 9 to 5. You can take your time off, but be prepared and you need to put your efforts in and you need to work on time management. To be honest, I've been in the business for 27 years, and I still haven't figured out the time management thing yet. So, you know, I keep trying. I keep buying these gadgets, but I can't get it. So, but I make up for it with extra effort. But yes, if you've got good time management, you can do really well. Educate yourself. Get to know what's happening out there. Okay, we're doing the licensing now, which is a great thing. And you know, next year the agents will start working with the license, which is good stuff. But be knowledgeable. Know what you're talking about. Be prepared. Be always prepared. And when you start in this business, the biggest thing is to follow up with your clients. Follow up with your landlords or your sellers, and follow up with your own clients. And make sure that you don't leave a stone unturned. Because out there, keep in mind, when someone is looking for a house, almost 100% of the time, they're going to find a house. Whether it's with you or someone else, that's entirely up to you. But if you prepare yourself, you could be that person.
Okay, Jeff, thanks a lot for being on Strive to Thrive podcast. Cheers, mate.